Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer, and let's continue the first round of interviews with the New York City mayoral hopefuls. Two more to go on Monday. Brian will be speaking with Adolfo Carrion Jr. Today, we hear from the fifth Democrat in the race, Sal Albanese, born in Italy, a product of the New York City public schools, where he taught before serving as a city councilman from Bay Ridge. He's been in the private sector for the last 15 years. Sal Albanese joins me now. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Why do you want this job?
Well, I came here as an immigrant at the age of eight, and I attended the public schools, the libraries, the sports programs, all services that the city offered elevated me from the working class to the middle class, and I wanted to do the same for future generations. I looked around, and I believed that with my experience and background, I'm more qualified than any of the people that are running. And the mayor's job is a job where you can really make a difference in neighborhoods and people's lives. And I'm looking forward to becoming the mayor.
Give me one issue you're talking about that no one else is.
Oh, a number of issues. For example, education. As you know, I was a school teacher for 11 years, as you mentioned, so I understand schools from the bottom up. And I think one of the areas that we're neglecting is early intervention, particularly the first 3 years. They're pivotal in a child's life. And one of the common links between learning problems is poverty. So I want to establish pediatric wellness centers in low-income communities around the city to support parents. So when these young people come into our schools at 4 or 5 years of age, they're not far behind, and they're able to concentrate. They're able to distinguish between concepts. They come in many times so far behind it's hard for them to catch up, and they wind up being referred to special education. They wind up in our criminal justice system, and I think it's political malpractice not to address it based on what we know now in terms of developmental issues.
What grade levels did you teach?
I taught in high school and junior high school. I actually, my last job was at John Jay High School in Brooklyn. I love teaching. I still hear from my students. As I'm running for mayor, they check in with me, and it's amazing.
What subjects?
Well, I taught, I have a master's in health and a bachelor's degree in physical education. I coached varsity gymnastics for 5 years at John Jay High School. But I also taught math. I taught science in junior high school. And I also spent 5 years in drug prevention in a junior high school. I worked with young people who were beginning to experiment with drugs, and I also taught health. I have a master's in health from New York University, so I also was in a classroom at the same time as I was counseling kids and working with them in small groups.
What are your thoughts on charter schools?
I don't have a problem with them. They're good for experimentation in terms of new. They're flexible, but they're not the end all and be all. They're not really addressing. We have a million kids in our city schools. Only a small percentage of them attend charter schools. Some are good, some are bad, just like the public schools. So they're not the panacea to our educational problems.
Are you going to be able to negotiate, take hardline negotiations in the name of the people of New York with, say, the United Federation of Teachers?
Well, I have a believe in a collaborative relationship with all of labor, but at the end of the day, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of New Yorkers. I think that the UFT can be a real partner. They've become much more flexible around the country, the teachers union, in terms of student teaching and in terms of new programs. They're not resistant like they used to many years ago. So I believe I can work with them.
Let's take a tangible issue, because there's a lot of – I could see the attraction to wanting to become mayor, but then there are some headaches. So you have to do a negotiation with the teachers, and the teachers have been without a contract since, I think, 2009. And I was reading some estimates of how much a retroactive pay increase would cost the city, and this is something they're going to ask. And if the teachers even ask for a retroactive pay increase just based on the rate of inflation, which is 3%, and by the way, they've been getting pay increases of 8%, so this would be less than what they've getting. That would cost $4 billion in 2014. If they got inflation-based hikes from 2008 to 2010, the bill would be $5 billion. I mean, there's a plausible way to calculate it. If you gave raises to teachers and all city workers it would be $10 billion in 2014 alone. So what do you do with that? You want to negotiate with the teachers. You say they could be your partners, but it might cost the city $10 billion.
Well, you have to balance the budget. First of all, I don't think it's $10 billion. I think that estimate is way too high.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also met with the Independent Budget Office, and they, of course, have an objective assessment of how much money the city has. And the city always lowballs how much revenue they have. So there's more revenue there than the mayor and the administration say.
But you'd say it would cost billions, maybe not 10 billion. We're talking about billions.
It would cost a couple of billion dollars. But you also have to look at what the fiscal situation is. I mean, you obviously have to balance the budget. I'm committed to doing that. And you can't not address that issue. But I believe that, the stock market has dramatically improved. So the city's pension contributions are going to be significantly lower than they were in the last couple of years when the market crashed and they were contributing $8 billion. So a lot of that contribution is based on how the market performs. So there'll be a couple of billion dollars from that alone. And we're going to work collaboratively with teachers and firefighters and cops. We've got to treat them fairly because they provide great services to the city. You don't want to demoralize your workforce. That's one of the great things about New York City is that we have these, you know, we saw that with Sandy, the sanitation workers doing such a great job in the Rockaways and on Staten Island. And the teachers who work in classrooms, even though people criticize the teachers, the mayor does, I don't understand that they're working in tough circumstances with large classes. So we want to balance the budget. At the same time, we want to provide a fair wage for workers, and we can do that.
But you wouldn't bottom line on this question, you would not rule out a retroactive pay increase to city
Absolutely
workers?
Absolutely not. Yeah. It all depends on the fiscal situation.
Why do you think New York City hasn't elected a Democrat as mayor since David Dinkins almost 20 years ago?
That's a good question. I don't know. Mayor Bloomberg obviously was elected. Was a Democrat who basically switched parties, and now he's an independent. He was a Republican. So I think New Yorkers are very independent, and they'll vote for who they think the best person is. I mean, one of the things I bring to the table, Mike, is my strong independence. Nobody questions that. 15 years in the city council, one of the few council members that didn't have a Lulu or a stipend because I refused to be dictated to by the leadership. So I think New Yorkers want an independent person as mayor, and I believe I bring that to the table.
So 16 years ago, you ran for mayor. You ran for the Democratic nomination. Ruth Messenger got about twice as many votes as you did. Al Sharpton got about 50% as many votes. And then, you know, you've been out of public service for these last 15 years. What about that adds up to now this being the Sal Albanese time? And I know you stated why you wanted to run. But, you know, if we just look at the track record, it seems like you didn't do so well 16 years ago. And so cut to today. What have you done in the last 16 years to argue that now you're the candidate who can win?
Well, I would say that we did pretty well. I garnered 22% of the vote with virtually no money. Ruth Messenger had like 15 times the amount of money that I had. We did fairly well. As a matter of fact, there were a number of articles afterwards saying that the campaign was well run,
mm-hmm.
With limited resources. This time around, we have a 6-to-1 campaign match, the city campaign finance law, which I helped to author, which will generate a lot more campaign money for us because we're reaching out to New Yorkers across the city who are interested in good government. We're not taking money from lobbyists, and I believe we're going to have the resources. The last time, the reason why we didn't prevail, and we were climbing, by the way, at the end of the election, I jumped 11 points in 1 week, is because we didn't have the money. And quite frankly, I am an independent. I'm not considered reliable to some of the lobbyists in the city, so we didn't raise as much money the last time, but it's going to be different this time.
What was the match 16 years ago?
It was only 2-to-1.
2-to-1. So now you'll get three times as much money if you from what you raise. And I think then you had only one commercial on the air or something?
We had 1 week of television. Yeah. We jumped 11 percentage points. So when people got to know my record, they were attracted to my platform. So I believe that we will prevail because people will know what I stand for. And that's important. At the end of this campaign, they'll know the Albanese record. And when they compare it to my competitors, who are pretty much part of the political class, they're professional politicians, I believe that we will prevail.
You have worked in the financial services industry for 15 years. What have you learned from that experience that you bring to the race?
Well, that's a good question. I've learned a lot more about economics. I've learned a lot more about pension investments. For example, I think the city of New York's pension system could be better run. For example, the Ontario system performs 3% better than the New York City system. So I've learned a lot about that particular area, which I can bring to the city. For example, if the New York City pension system, Mike, performed as well as the Ontario system, the city's contributions to the pension system would be half. It's 3 basis points. It's 3%, which out of a $150 billion pension system, that's an awful lot of money. It's about $4 billion, which would take care of the budget deficit. So that's an area I'm going to focus in very heavily because it's going to bring savings to the city and as well as provide more revenue for our retirees.
What's the single best thing Mayor Bloomberg has done during his tenure?
The Cornell project, which is taking off on Roosevelt Island, I think that's going to be a major boom for the city because it's already started to diversify our economy. You'll see in startups in technology and in engineering, it's going to create an awful lot of jobs. And today's jobs report showed that we're beginning to really increase jobs in that area. So I think that's a tremendous boom for the city. I've always said we have to diversify our economy. The financial services area, which is very important to the city, has shrunk through the technology and what have you and the market crash. So we need to diversify. Tourism is jumping. He did a pretty good job there. That's because of the great services that the police and firefighters and teachers and all of our civil servants provide for the city. People want to come here. So that's important to maintain. And at the same time, this technology and engineering area is going to be very, very big. I mean, we've got great universities here, NYU, Pratt. All of these schools are going to benefit from these startups. And also, it's going to benefit, as people move into the city, it benefits small businesses. There's a multiplier effect. So I give Mayor Bloomberg credit for that.
And so I'll give you the chance to do the other side of the coin. What has been his biggest flaw?
Well, I don't think, first of all, running for a third term. I think he's off his game. I don't think he's focused anymore. I think he's checked out. And I would never want to be a third term mayor. I'm a big term limit advocate. And I think he's demonized the workforce, which is not a good thing. I have two daughters that are teachers, and they've come home and said, "Dad, why is the mayor talking like that about the teachers in the city? Everybody in our building is demoralized."
Where do they teach?
One at Fort Hamilton High School and one at PS 104. She's on maternity leave right now. But the whole teaching—
Where's PS 104?
That's in Bay Ridge.
Okay.
It's on 90th Street and Fifth Avenue. Uh-huh. But you can't demoralize the rank and file who are providing services to the city. So I don't think he gets that. So that's a major flaw that I see in the mayor.
And one other tangible thing, and then I want to ask you about the primary. Congestion pricing. Mm-hmm. I think you're in favor of it. I don't know if you
called
it congestion. Okay.
Yeah.
But how do you think the MTA should be funded?
Well, I'm the only person who's running for mayor that's promulgated a comprehensive transportation plan, which includes what we call fair tolling. For example, we want to lower tolls in areas where there are limited mass transit options and then add tolls to areas where there are a lot of mass transit options. For example, on Staten Island, where there are limited mass transit options, we want to lower that toll because it's the highest in the country. We want to add tolls on other bridges, which would generate $1 billion in revenue. Three-quarters of that money would go to mass transit to keep the fares low so that, you know, we don't have this astronomical increase that we just hoisted on average New Yorkers. And at the same time, it would reduce congestion, improve our air quality, and get trucks off the street because there are trucks now rumbling through streets all over the city trying to get to the free bridges.
Yeah.
And it's really it doesn't make any sense. I'm the only candidate who's discussing this, who's not afraid to talk about it. The other four candidates, you know, they'll run if you even bring up this issue, which I think is ludicrous. It shows a lack of political courage.
So every political candidate will always ask a potential voter, "I'd like your vote. I'd like you to come out and vote on November 2nd, 4th, 5th. But you're in a weird position. When's the primary?
I believe it's going to be September.
How will, if they move it up, because, you know, Albany has to respond to the New York City Board of Elections. If it's a summer primary, how will that affect your chances?
No, we'll have to adjust. It certainly won't be a positive because, you know, we have 7.5 months till September, and I want to make sure people get to know my record. We'll adjust, but I don't think it's fair to New Yorkers, Mike, have a primary in June. I don't have a problem with that, but let's do it next year because right now we're in the middle of a mayor's race. We're beginning a mayor's race. You just can't keep people in limbo. But let me tell you something. The Board of Elections in the city is a disaster, a total disaster. I want to professionalize it. It's a bunch of political hacks that are running it. I mean, this is incredible. This is bizarre that we have the people that run the Board of Elections are appointed by political leaders. We have to professionalize it. What this is New York City. What are we doing here?
Now, when you say that, you're not worried they're going to misspell your name on the ballots or something? Smudge it?
They may do that anyway. I think it's outrageous.
Sal Albanese running for the mayor of New York. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming by.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
And in a moment, we'll be discussing the issues of work-life balance and what role technology is playing for you in your parenting and your working. Our number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us a call and stay with us. We'll be talking about that in a moment.